Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like,
if I would have left an embryonic parasite infect my womb, it would have been you.
Hello, hello, hello.
Casho, casho.
Hi, Babelito. What's up?
Nothing. I'm freaking out. I'm really stressed. And I'm a mess.
What's new?
What's not new? Let's talk about food first.
Yeah, what'd you have for lunch today?
I had a crazy ass fucking hot dog.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
So I had the hot dog, el weenie.
But talk about the weenie.
Okay, the
weenie. What kind of weenie?
El, no sé, güey, los más baratos que te compras en Sam's, cause me los di mi mamá.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Walmart weenie. Got uh-huh. it.
And then we tried to wrap them in bacon, but this bacon was so thick that it kept unwrapping itself. So we just like cooked the bacon y le pusimos los cachitos arriba. Mm-hmm. And then my mom made beans with chorizo. And then we put that on top of that. And then I had roasted green chili from Hatch, New Mexico. Cut it in pieces with salt and then added to it. And then luego mayonesa. ketchup,
wait, mustard.
Oh,
you just squirted the mayonnaise on top, you didn't spread it on the buns?
No, girl.
Oof.
So mayonesa, ketchup, mustard. ¿Y luego cómo se llaman las cositas verdes chiquitas?
Relish.
Yes, and relish.
You're nasty.
That's what I had for
that
lunch.
Actually sounds really good.
It was loaded.
But
un weenie que estaba loaded.
Sure. I always think that it's kind of disrespectful to just squeeze the mayonnaise on top of the weenie.
Why?
Because
if you, en la primera mordida lo sientes todo
pero
en tu boca.
Imagínate, okay? if the mayonnaise was spread on the bun, like you get mayonnaise in every bite.
No, girl. What
instead
you
of a glob?
What you do is that you use mayonnaise,
uh-huh.
And then yeah, si lo tuestas. So instead of like butter bread, you use mayonnaise.
Well, you didn't say that. You didn't say that part.
No, I mean we didn't do that because we were lazy. But normally I do that. I put the mayo, y luego contra
what kind
el
of
sartén.
Bun?
Huh?
What kind? You skipped the bun too.
Oscar Mayer, no sé lo, the cheapest one too.
Oh wow,
nothing exciting. But when it's all about the green chili.
So you had like a Mexican chili dog.
I had a Mexican / New Mexican chili
ranchero dog.
Yes.
What do you call it?
I have no idea.
What do you call it when they make the beans with the bacon and the
frijoles,
hot dogs?
Frijoles.
Charros.
No,
charro dog.
Ah, yes. A charro dog with green chili. That's what I had.
A charro dog that hates his own identity.
Man, TM.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Anyway.
¿Y tú qué comiste?
I went to... Okay, so you know that I'm obsessed with Taco Bell, mm-hmm. but I don't eat it all the time because I want to live. I choose life.
Yes.
But it's a special nostalgic treat for me.
Of course.
That being said, I did not go to Taco Bell today, but I went to another place that used to be a Taco Bell. Because I'm also obsessed with places that used to be Taco Bells and what they are now.
And they used to be like fast food places.
Yeah, Taco Bell, fast, like the traditional like 90s Taco Bell building. Like you can, 80s, 90s, you know, you can spot it anywhere.
What kind of architecture is that, by the way? Is it like proto, like colonial
Spanish revival? How do you say new? How do you say new in French?
No sé.
It's like
nouveau,
yeah. Uh-huh. It's like Spanish colonial nouveau.
Nouveau. Okay, so you went to an old Taco Bell that it's now what?
It's a kebab place. So I went and I had a falafel plate at this place.
Yeah,
it was good. It was a little salty, but I loved it anyway. It was mm-hmm. delicious, and they had. Because originally I was just going to go get whatever from wherever. And I'm like, you know what? Stay woke, Fabi Fav. Go to a local business.
Yeah.
So I went to this place that used to actually be a Mexican spot inside of a Taco Bell. And so It's a brand new owner's brand new business, and it was awesome because I got the handmade, you know, homemade falafel plate. Mm-hmm. But then they also had homemade like rose water tea.
Fuck.
And then I mixed that with lemonade, so I was like a rose water tea.
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer. It was delicious.
Bitch, I remember what was the program, the radio program you were in Denver where you talk about the Middle Eastern influence in Mexican food?
It was a podcast for the Biennial of the Americas.
Oh, okay.
It was just like a short series.
Okay, I'm going to put the link on it because I feel like we should develop a whole episode just on that.
Because
There's so many things about Middle Eastern food and culture that are part of ours, and we don't think about it.
Yeah.
And there's just, I don't know, I just started thinking about it because the kebab, tacos al pastor, all that shit, it's like we owe it to fucking Middle Eastern food.
Yeah, so the plate had falafel on it. Do you know what falafel is?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I eat it.
I think it's delicious. Chickpeas, like balls. They're like, like they're balls. Deep fried. And that was sitting on a bed of lettuce with, and not like iceberg lettuce, like nice lettuce, like, you know, like leafy greens. Uh-huh. And then...
like the expensive ones that come in plastic bags.
The ones that cost $2, not $1.
Not $1.
Yeah. And then that came with hummus, which is also chickpea and I almost said tahin, but it's like, what do they call it? Tahini?
Tahini.
And then baba ganoush, which is eggplant-based. Eggplant. And then that came with like a little damn side salad. I think it was kale or something.
Bitch.
And grape leaves, dolmas.
Stuff with rice. You can
rough rice. Rough. I just started barking. Yes, exactly.
Damn, yeah. You had a full-on meal.
I ate a lot. It was like, I ate like 3 hours ago and I'm still really full. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like with Middle Eastern food, there's certain cuisines around the world where being vegetarian, it's not such a big deal.
More like Mediterranean, right. I would say. Yeah,
oh, yeah, food. Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Because like, I just describe every single fucking part of la vaca compressed.
Yeah.
Through a tube. And that's what I ate for lunch.
Yeah. And then that gets compressed. And then you...
Hey, stop talking about it. I know you want to make it a goal to talk about my shit in every fucking episode. And I'm not going to let you this time.
Okay. I didn't have to. You did it for me. That's fine.
Oh, my God.
Thank
it was
you.
So smooth. You're
thanks
like,
for...
Oh, this is... Me la serviste en plato de oro culero.
You set it up for yourself, bitch. I don't even have to do it anymore.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. So okay, what have you been up to? You've been all over the place. Last time I saw you, we were in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We're emceeing a conference, the 7th Biennial Gifts Money for Our Movements, a social justice fundraising conference.
Meet
that
it?
Was so awesome.
Dude,
I barely got through that.
Dude, that was so interesting because we talked about our strengths, what? Right? We talk about how, like, when it comes to lecturing, to me, things come easier.
Yeah.
And when it comes to hosting, it comes for you.
Yeah.
Watching you host that debate
uh-huh.
on the second day was so much fucking fun. I think that's when everybody was just, like, all about us in the uh-huh. conference. Why don't you tell people, like, what do you do?
Well, we just hosted an event. I don't know.
There was a panel. Okay. So in the panel, there was a debate. So one of the things that Favi did is that during the debate, he hosted it like if he was a Caesar's Palace boxer.
Oh, yeah.
Presenter.
You know, I do the white people voice, the announcer voice. I did it for them and it was fun.
They fucking loved it.
Yeah. I never moderated a debate before, so I was a little nervous, but it was cool. It was fun. And so what they do at that conference is the first day, it's a bunch of workshops. So you have your opening plenary, they call mm-hmm. it. Like somebody does a speech and they talk. And it was a lot of different organizations there. Shout out to all of them. And it was so cool just to meet everybody and be there. And then the second, and then there's workshops that day. So everybody goes and does workshops mm-hmm. depending on their organization and like what works for them. And then the second day, that's kind of like the fun event where people go to this debate, and the debate was like whether or not nonprofit organizations should act like corporations and rely on branding.
On branding, yes.
And it was cool to see the people that they got for the debates, maybe they didn't actually believe what they were actually saying, but since they were on the con or the pro side of the result, then, you know, it was just fun to see them kind of pulling stuff and doing research. It was really cool.
With the plenary talks, the beginning and the closing one, my mind was going everywhere, because it was one of those moments when you realize how crazy fucked up this machine is and that we live in, meaning capitalism.
Yeah.
And how complicated it is, because here we are in a conference where people have devoted their lives for good causes, and a lot of the main ideas behind this conference was, how do we ask for money, how do we get money? For example, Song, Southerners on New Ground, shout out to them, which threw an amazing party. One of the things they did, for example, and they do, is that they gather money and they get people out of jail.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy, because I'm thinking, here we are, all of us in some way or another protest the idea of having so many fucking jails, yet in order to create justice and get these people out of jail, you have to pay them. So it becomes this whole full ass fucking cycle where, like, still you're generating profit for the people that shouldn't be making money, but we don't have other choice. We have been conditioned to do this type of work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that whole time I was like, that is like, wow, capitalism, it's so fucked up that it basically, even with people that work so hard against it, they have to go along. Otherwise, nothing's gonna change. It was just like eye-opening, mind-blowing, but also very inspiring, because everybody we met, they're in the front lines. They're looking for money. They're asking for money. They're fighting for people's rights. And a lot of people just talk about things, and they actually are in action. So shout out to Gift. Shout out to Song. Shout out to everybody that we met in the conference.
Yeah, special shout out to Veronica Garcia, who invited us to be the MCs. And you might have heard her in the background of episode 82 with Mujer Fiera, if you haven't listened to that yet. Mujer Fiera was also there. They're awesome. I met a lot of really great activists. I want to give a shout out to Genesec Gutierrez, who is called La Heckler. She is the trans woman that heckled Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And she is based in Los Angeles right now, and hopefully we could talk to her. But me and her met at the Song party, and then we ended up hanging out the rest of the weekend, which is really cool. So, and then also special shout out to our friends, Sophia and Stevie.
Oh my God.
They're our listeners. Well, Stevie really doesn't listen to us, but Sophia does. Stevie just listens to us because Sophia has us on all the time. But I met Sophia back last year when I was in Miami. Mm-hmm. And so then I remembered that she lived in Atlanta, and she took us to all these different places.
To a fucking swap meet that was,
oh my God, off of Buford Highway.
Oh my God.
It was so awesome.
Los vestidos de quinceañera, they were rows upon rows upon rows.
Yes.
Oh, it was so nice. And you know what was great is that having we were like in their apartment for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Just chilling in the living room, having a beer. I don't remember the last time I did that with friends.
Really?
So to me was, and there were two things that happened in my brain. One, so chill, so nice. No, I mean, I didn't feel like I had to do anything. But also it made me miss having my own place. So that's like, that's like just having a place where I can have friends over, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't wait to do that when I get to Chicago, which I live in 2 days.
Oh my God.
Bitch, I'm freaking out.
Okay, let's talk about Chicago. What? You're leaving in 2 days.
Yes.
Well, how much stuff are you going to take? You're going to take everything or what?
I don't have a lot. Uh-huh. So I'm going to take 70% of my books, which they're pretty much packed. I still have to work on it. I'm taking most of my clothes, but I know I'm going to have to buy a whole new fucking wardrobe with that fucking coldness.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rosara, who's going to give me some tips of how to deal with the cold, because she lives in...
Don't go outside. That's my tip.
I'm planning on it. Okay. I'm fucking planning on it. And I'm taking some of my art.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's it. And I mean, it's going to be a year, potentially 2 years. So I'm just going to keep it minimal. I'm going to spend, the only thing I'm going to spend money on is on my bed. Because I don't know if in a year I'm going to have to come back already, and I don't need to be dealing with moving all of my shit. So I'm just going to have one bed, una mesita, and yeah. my stuff. That's it.
You're going to buy your bed over there, or you're going to take
yeah, it? Yeah, I'm going to order it online. I'm going to order what you have.
Oh.
Bitch, that is comfy.
Yeah, we're not going to mention them because they're not giving us money. But
but they're good.
They're good. They're real good.
I'm anxious, man.
Yeah.
I'm fucking anxious because in the past 6 months, my life went 360 degrees and I have to take the changes as they come. No, it's 360.
You just did a circle and are looking at the same. you're looking at the same thing? No, it went it's facing the other way.
180. Yes. 180. Yeah. 180.
Geometry.
Shout out to geometry.
Shout out to math.
Shout out to Pythagoras.
I was like, you just did a circle and stood in the same spot. What does that mean?
But I take every change as it comes. And it seems for the past year, every week, something new changes.
Yeah.
And I feel like finally I'm going to be able to chill.
Yeah. Because in your mind, you're like, finally, like, this is what I've been working towards.
Right.
Yeah.
Not only in the past year, but in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So that scares me. Because I've been on the run. Not on the run, but I've been on the move.
Bitch, you've been running.
Yes. And you don't have to go right now. And stopping for more than 3 months or 2 months.
Yeah.
It's freaking me out because I know that I'm going to, for the first time, sit down and reflect on everything that has happened. And I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready to face everything that has changed, the way that I've changed. I'm not ready for it. And I know I'm going to try to distract myself with work. So I'm just scared. I'm just scared of the change. And I try not to think about it, but I wake up in the middle of the night. I need to embrace a lot of new things, and I know I'm gonna have to ask maybe for therapy, and all of that is just a terrifying thing, and I'm just trying to take it one day at a time, because I sometimes feel like I can go crazy. They're all good things, you
know? That's real. That's very real.
Yeah, like yeah. They're all, a lot of it is very good positive things, but a change is a change is a change. And it's terrifying. So I'm scared every day. And I think in the past 2 weeks is when everything started hitting me. And it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I will say this. We talk about it a lot on this podcast. Is like avoiding your feelings and avoiding talking to people about stuff is not good. Because it's just, you know that it's bad for you and you're still doing it. You're letting it build up and you're not dealing with what you need to deal with right now.
Right.
But I mean, if you don't have the tools to do that, then how are you going to do it?
Yeah.
So it's going to suck, dude.
It is going to suck.
But at least it's going to be in a nice city with lots of art and people with new haircuts. It's going to be really nice. Shout out to Luisito.
It's stupid.
Yeah. So now we're back in Las Vegas, and what have you been up to here?
Okay, so I just came back, but I was in New Mexico with my dude. We visited Kirsten. Shout out to Kirsten. She received us in her house.
Who is Kirsten?
Kirsten. I talk about Kirsten a lot. She's my advisor from UNM.
Mm-hmm.
A badass of art history. And I developed a proposal for a conference in New York while I was with her.
Oh, cool.
It was just, I would just hang out with her. And we went everywhere. We went to see different pueblos. I basically gave my boyfriend the tour of the Pueblo Revolution. So where the different battles happen and some of those things. So we went to Jemez, which was the site of one of the martyrs from one of my paintings from the 18th century. He died over there. We went to Santa Fe, where everything started. We went to Acoma, where in the late 1500s, a conquistador just ordered everybody to get their fucking feet chopped because they murdered his brother. So he had like 50 young men's feet caught in the late 1500s. And right now in the site, in Site Santa Fe, which it's a big gallery slash museum in Santa Fe, they have the biennial. And it concentrates a lot on Native American art and resistance. So they actually casted the foot of a statue of Oñate, because in the 90s, there was this statue of Oñate that was erected in a town in New Mexico, and people protested because why are you putting the statue of this murderous man, you know? So somebody actually cut the feet.
That's awesome.
And they recasted that, and it's part of the exhibition. So check it out, the Site Santa Fe. So we did a lot of that. So it was like 4 days of intense, just like going to every single site. If you haven't been to Acoma, bitch, have you been to Acoma?
Yeah, that's where they have that, the church where the dirt is holy.
No, that's Chimayo.
Oh.
Yes.
Then no.
Acoma, it sits on the top of a mesa.
Oh, I have been there too.
Yes, yeah. And it's amazing. They give you tours. It's a little weird because people still live there, so you feel like a voyeur. But when you get the right tour guide that tells you about it, the whole tour becomes a Native resistance tour. And they tell you, and from here, from this point, we threw the Franciscan and he died and we resisted against them and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's really interesting. And plus, the topography, it's fucking amazing. So we spent a couple hours there in our way back to Vegas. And then we got here. And then on Saturday, we had my sister had a big party for my nephew. And the theme was Nacho Libre.
Oh, my God. That's like your favorite movie.
Dude, we've been waiting for this moment to happen for years. Mm-hmm. Ever since we saw the movie, we're like, we're going to have a theme party for one of our kids, not mine, theirs, theme Nacho Libre. And it was super cute. But I didn't know this, and you did know this, that it became also my go-away party.
Yeah.
So that was pretty amazing. So she had all the signs throughout the patio that were quotes of Nacho Libre. And then before you guys came in, she flipped the signs, and they were just like messages for me. That was pretty touching.
So and your sister's amazing.
My sister is fucking badass.
Yeah, we and were just waiting outside in the street until she told us to come in.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, bitch.
I was so distraught. I was eating because they were mangos. They were
había
manguero, elotero, y un señor de los tacos. Bitch, there was so much food.
Your sister was like, we're going to make hot dogs for everybody. We're like, don't worry, girl. We're just here to drink. Don't worry about the food.
Is that why you guys arrived with pizzas?
Yeah, well, that was my shout out to our friend Mari. Mari's like, I'm just going to get pizza for us just in case. I'm like, great.
That's a good idea.
There can never be too much food at a Latino get-together, so that's good.
So that was nice. I feel like you guys were there for like 30 minutes. That's how drunk I was. But no, you guys were there for a while.
We were there pretty late, dog.
Yeah. I remember I woke up the next morning and I was like, why did everybody left so early? And my sister is like, they were here for a while. I was like, really? I don't know. I was just like, I was too drunk. But shout out to everybody that came. I love you all. I'm going to miss everybody. And everybody's going to come and visit. So it's all good. And who knows? Maybe I'll be back in a year.
Yeah. Vegas. Vegas, baby. And speaking of Vegas, recently we were just on a podcast called Wild and Free.
That's right.
A Battle Born podcast with some of our dear friends here in Las Vegas. And, you know, we always like to give shout outs to people that are here in Vegas. And so if you get a chance, listen to their podcast. And we also recorded an interview with them. So you want to share that now?
Yes, let's listen to that audio. And I also make sure to put the link to the interview they did to us, so you guys can listen to that interview. And then you can also, and now you're going to listen to us talking to them.
Should we do some transition music?
I like the little.
Do it. Do something.
Tiddly, tiddly, tiddly,
hi, tiddly. 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hi. I'm loud.
Okay.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Should you? Let's do like a cheesy thing. I'll do my white voice.
Yes, please.
Okay. Live from an undisclosed location in downtown Las Vegas, we are here with Wild and Free, a Battleborn podcast with hosts Allison and Jacob. Wild and free pie. Giddy-up. Well, we're here. We're in the time machine. We're in the past, future. I don't know when this is going to air, but we are so
excited. But we are here.
Yes, we are so excited to be here with Wild and Free Podcast because they are a local Las Vegas podcast.
Woohoo! Really crazy.
And we're here in the Den of Descent with producer Jose over here and Ashley in the background. And there's a dog. ¿Cómo se llama la perra?
Raven.
Raven.
Es una cabrona.
Yeah.
She likes concha conchas.
Yeah.
You need to get her a shirt.
So naughty.
You need to get her a shirt.
Concha.
So what's the story? Because you told us the story earlier today.
Right, right. So one day I brought over conchas from Cárdenas, and I brought like 20. We only ate a couple, and then we went out to
That's
get
excessive.
Lunch.
That's excessive. There was not 20.
There was like 10, dude. And we went to Starboard Tack. Shout out to the people at Starboard Tack. And then we came back. Well, they came back. And the bag was still on the island in the kitchen. But all the conchas were mysteriously missing.
Y se enfermó la perra.
No. No le pasó nada.
I'm a champion. I love you, Raven. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, she's
that's
Mexican.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
But she can't eat butter. We know that sticks of butter will not do her well. Because that's conchas. Also her. Conchas are fine. Sticks of butter
and
bad.
She's a woke queen. So she's the concha right. queen, K-W-E-E-N.
Down. Yeah. So continuing with the food theme, we just had the most delicious, delicious ceviche. Ceviche.
Your tongue is being colonized.
Girl, among other things, we just had the best ceviche ever. Can you please tell us what
How
you cook
you,
for
what
us?
What is in it? How yes. did you make it?
Oh, man. Well, it's a culichi recipe. It's from Culiacan in Mexico, and it's really simple. It's tilapia. I was going to say pineapple. No pineapple, guys. Cucumber, cilantro, tomatoes, and chiles. Lemon, a little tajin en clamato, and...
That's what it was.
Just a little dash. Yeah.
It was really good. I liked it. I liked how clean it tasted.
Yes.
Because usually my family puts ketchup in it, and then I'm like, what the fuck?
That muddies the waters.
Yeah, totally.
Well, there's some people here that kind of like bastardized it and put some mayo... On the
tostada. Shout out to Jose.
Shout out to the bastards.
And then we had some home-brewed beer. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That was the Wild and Free Battleborn Bock made with local Nevada honey.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's very, very local. We learned from the local brewing store. I don't remember what it's called.
Home
brewing store in Charleston. Yeah, there's the one. So, nice. Yeah, they kind of gave us some instruction. But, yeah, it was local beer. And
it was delicious. Yeah. It was so good.
Well, thank you very much. We were very excited. You were the first people outside of our podcast to try it.
Yeah.
So
unbiased.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh.
So let's get into it. So why – okay, first of all, introduce yourselves. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Who is your daddy and what does he do? I like to say that. I'm just kidding. I don't care about your dad. But, I mean, unless... Yeah. No. But...
He just texted me that yesterday. He cannot stop saying it.
I just love Kindergarten Cop. It's such a good film.
It's
not
such
a tumor.
Feature film.
I don't know about that, but it makes a good episode name.
Okay.
What about in Chapel?
No. We'll start with Allison.
Alrighty. Well, my name is Allison Yanez. I am a local social justice activist and patron of the arts. And about, I don't know, 6 months ago, it occurred to the team here that, my co-host Jacob and I, we both worked in the nonprofit sector. We currently work in the nonprofit sector. And we're, as I said, patrons of the art. And we were constantly being asked by people, especially after the election, but even before that, they were so frustrated. They're bogged down by everything that's going on. If it's not the Muslim ban, you know, the attack on Dreamers, etc. And people wanted to get involved in the community. They're like, how do we get involved? How do we give back? And, you know, people complaining that there's no community, there's nothing out there. And so we were like, we want this to be a platform for people, particularly the people that the unheard voices in Las Vegas, predominantly women, people of color, people from the LGBTQ community that work in the nonprofit sector or social justice or artists that are community driven that want to create a positive impact in the community. Have them on. They're the people that interact directly with the public and just hear their stories in order to for people to, you know, hear about the clients that they serve and, you know, create a sense of empathy in the community and show that there's a lot of great stuff that's going on and to get people involved. So it has a political inclination. You know, we would love if people that listen to us, they run for office or donate their time or money to a local nonprofit or go and, you know, check out either, you know, enroll in one of Babelito's classes or go check out your art at a gallery. So that was kind of the purpose. And as I mentioned earlier, you guys were the first podcast that I listened to. So you got me, you sent me down the podcast rabbit hole. So I'm eternally grateful for you. And I think you're, you know, catalysts for people in our community, again, the unheard voices, and so you're a source of inspiration for me.
Oh, go
Don't stop. But you wear many hats, though. You have, you, I feel like you're always on the move. You're always doing different things.
Yeah.
Right? So you're working with a lot of different organizations in town. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I first met you, it was through the Mexican consulate. Were you working with them at some point?
Years ago,
right? I met you years. Yeah. I met you at the Cosmo, I think.
Yes.
At the Cosmopolitan when I had a residency
you
there.
You did.
Years ago.
Oh, so no shout out to them for getting rid of that.
I know.
Stupid. Yeah, unshout out.
But don't they put David Chang's restaurant there? You know, shout out to giving an Asian a restaurant. That's good.
Is Momofuku in that space?
Yeah, I think it's Momofuku there.
How do you not know that? That's my question. How do you not know that?
I've not wanted to visit it, actually. Oh, like, they've gone down.
I haven't been there in a while.
They stopped booking the good bands a long time ago.
Totally.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very few. That's the only reason I go there is for concerts. So.
Okay, Jacob, so set your Jacob, name.
So my name is Jacob Murdoch. I do work in the nonprofit field. That's actually how Alice and I met many years ago. You know, I work for a history museum here in town.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Very, very much started in education. Going back to education now as well. I'm actually a political science master's student because wanting to get young people civically engaged is a real passion of mine. When I worked at UNLV, that was kind of my focus, and that's what I want, is I want more young people to get involved in the process. And the more they're involved, the more their voices are heard, and obviously I think that'll bring a cultural shift to us. But, you know, kind of the podcast for me, when Allison approached me with this idea, I was like, yes, I want more people to get involved. When I moved to Las Vegas, I fell in love with the city within... Not even within 6 months that I moved here, I fell in love with the city. I could not imagine living anywhere else. I think this is the most amazing place with the most amazing people. And my life, you know, I would be so different if I didn't live here. And I'm really happy that I'm here.
Awesome.
So it's really great to kind of see the growing community. And, you know, people do ask me, they're like, how do I get involved? And I'm like, how do you stay at home and like just hang out on your couch on the weekends? Like, if you want to get out, there's plenty of things to do and to see here. You don't need to go anywhere else. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like to go to LA. I like to go to Southern Utah to hike or whatever, but like, I don't need to do that. I can stay active here in Las Vegas. Every weekend, there's something to do. Every night of the week, there's something to do. And so that was my real inclination, was both to get people more involved in the community. And then I'm blessed, you know, to be the son of a civil rights activist and a women's rights activist. And so, like, that's kind of in my blood. And, you know, knowing that I have the privilege to be a white man, straight white man in this world, like, I want to use that privilege for good as opposed to just benefit myself. So that's really, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to be involved in this podcast with Allison.
Well, and kind of to counterbalance with what you've just said. So my experience was very different from Jacob's. Las Vegas actually took a while to grow on me. And it's because I went through certain personal situations that I had to really put myself out there and, you know, really hustle like a crazy person. So I would have been really appreciative if a podcast like ours would have been around or these directory, you know, Twitter, whatever the heck, or the directories that Seven Magazine and Las Vegas Weekly now have. Like, that information wasn't really available 10 years ago. So it really, it was through volunteering and just putting myself out there and going to things alone and just introducing myself to everybody that I learned about everything that's going on. And you know, that's how I got involved. But
why the name Wild and Free? Like, why you guys chose that name for your podcast?
I think, I mean, it's you know, Wild and Free is we now, I mean, regardless of our situations, how we moved here, we both love Nevada. We both love Las Vegas. Wild and Free is a part of the state song. It is, you know, it's a, you see it on license plates with the horses, you know, kind of like, we love that, you know, that independent spirit that is here in Nevada, but also like, you know, kind of what that means to, we know that that's not the same maybe spirit that's shared by everyone who lives here. But we want that to be, we want people to be able to do that. And we, I mean, our podcast is about Nevada. It's about particularly Southern Nevada, but it's about where we live. And we wanted to make that kind of evident, you know, where about where we live.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Kind of the go west young man vision, right, and the possibility of opportunities here. You know, it's so small. Your level of communication with, like, city officials and the executive directors at organizations, et cetera, you know, you're likely to run into these people at local restaurants. So it's kind of like, you know, the possibilities are infinite here in Vegas. So it's in that vein, the pioneering spirit.
That's awesome, because when people think of Vegas, they don't think of people that are politically inclined. So it's refreshing to and I'm guessing that people that are listening to right now, like, it's, they have to see that this sort of things and this sort of organizations and people that are very involved exists in a place like Vegas.
And politics is everywhere. I mean, you don't realize. Right. The other day I took the self-driving car that they have downtown. It's this, you laugh, but no, it, hold on.
Eso es del diablo.
Eso no es de Dios. Yes.
Eso no es de Dios.
Is it Elon Musk? No. It's not. No, it's a French company, but they've paired up with AAA. Uh-huh. And it's actually, like, super, it's hooked up to the lights that they have downtown. So it's kind of like a trolley. It's actually, like, not that very, it's not that exciting. Yeah. But the guy that's driving us around said
you're
that they,
it, girl.
That they launched that, it's a pilot project they that they're launching here in Nevada because they want to test it out with the American audience. You know, they're pairing up with this insurance company so people feel safe. It goes really damn slow. And he said, you know, this is the place to try it out because this is a swing state. And I thought that was a very odd comment.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And so everything is political. Like, this is a hot spot.
It's
we
a swing
just
state. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
It's still considered a swing state?
Yeah, girl. There's a lot of white people up north.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. Well, the election showed us that we lived in a bubble, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
And of course, Allison and I are very, even outspoken, I think, within that political, because we are, I mean, our listeners are definitely not surprised, but we are avowed leftists. We're not, we don't love the Democratic Party.
We
tend to vote for them more, but that's not, we don't love the party situation.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up, I think, we were very avid Bernie-crats, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Back then.
Como chingan los Bernie-crats.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Shout out to Bernie. I know he listens to us.
Him and Susan. To both our podcasts.
Yeah. Him and Susan Sarandon.
Right.
Please. Please.
That's right.
And Sarah Silverman. Yeah.
Who would you, like, faint if you learned that they listen to your podcast?
Café Tacuba.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, I will just have you put poison in this glass and drink it, and I'm done.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Can you do that? That'd be great.
Kill my co-host.
For me, oh my gosh.
Oprah. No, please don't say Oprah.
No, I'm not.
That was actually the name of one of our episodes, Oprah 2020, and we are not on board with that shit.
Oh, no.
We've had this conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Our listeners have definitely called us out.
Shout out to Luis.
Yeah, for real. Huh, let's see. Who would I...
She could be dead.
Oh my God.
Por la Selena.
No, no, no. I'm not one of those basic. Por las calles, porque somos de distintas. Maybe like María Celeste Herreras. I don't know. Oh, somebody okay. from Whitney's. That's a bad answer.
That's bad, girl.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've called out Maria Hinojosa a lot because of Latino USA and because they never give other Latino podcast shout outs. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously a story there that they need to produce of like all these Latino podcasts popping up in the last 3 years. So I would be really surprised and shocked if she listened to our podcast because she's still kind of like an old school broadcaster. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I don't feel like she's like listening to everybody. Yeah.
Who would you like to have on? Who would blow your mind?
Café Tacuba.
Café Tacuba. Yeah. Okay. Well, I ask because I mean, like, I'd like to have like Madeleine Albright on. I don't know, like, if she needs to hear me swearing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just so many amazing people out there, but I, you know, any of the cast from Sesame Street, that would be really cool. You know, Big Bird. I respect Big Bird. Uh-huh. Anybody from PBS.
Okay.
I love PBS. I used to watch PBS all the time.
If LeVar Burton from
My God. Yeah. Remember when he was doing the podcast rounds and he was on so many podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to even look at him. That would be crazy.
What about Mr. Rogers? I think we'd all like to have Mr. Rogers on.
I would shit myself.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Also, because it would be zombie Mr. Rogers, which would be like, it'd be like, what the fuck? Okay, I'm going with it, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know how much time we have, but what are the goals for your podcast? I guess it's a closing question.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think we want to get people in our community involved. That is a huge, huge part of it, is we want to make sure that, you know, people don't have an excuse not to get involved. So, like, I mean, the excuse they have is laziness, right? Like, we want to promote things that they may not be hearing, you know, that KMPR is not talking about, that, you know, the newspapers here aren't talking about. Like, where can they get involved on a grassroots level? We want them to be empowered with that information so that they know what's going on and can choose to get involved if they want to. There's really no excuse to, like, get involved in something. And that could be going to events. That could be running for office. It's really... You know, we don't want to say you need to do XYZ, but like there's plenty of things for you to do here. You need to do something to be a part of this community.
Something really cool that we actually learned recently when we created this, we didn't really have this in mind, but we have so many people from the nonprofit sector coming on and talking about the services they listen to. I never thought that there were people listening who would benefit from these services. So we've had people, we've had immigration attorneys come on, for example, and we've had people say, oh shit, well, my uncle maybe qualifies for X or Y relief. I'm going to reach out to these people and see if they can represent me. So that's another untapped. So that's something interesting to explore. And again, just being selfish, just learning about all the great causes in town. I mean, we've both been working in the sector for better part of a decade. There's a shit ton of nonprofits out there.
And sorry, Allison's mom.
Sorry, Allison. Sorry, Michelle. and we're not aware of all of them. So we get to have these fabulous people come on. They're change makers, and they tell us about their missions. And it's just, it's really inspiring, and it just exercises my creative muscle and just teaches me about everything that's going on in the community. And it's just really wonderful and super, super inspiring to meet all these great people.
That's beautiful. And this is a lesson for all those people in Vegas that if they want to start their podcast, know that there's a lot of people, that there's a growing community, and it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you both. Thank you for... Five with the dog for everything that you do. This is so awesome. I'm so happy that we had your voice on Latinos Who Lunch. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And listeners, we were also on the Wild and Free podcast, so we're going to link that to this episode. And before we go, where can people find you on the internet?
Ooh, well, our Twitter handle is Wild and Free Pod.
Right. Also Instagram.
Yeah, we're good at Instagram stories.
Yeah, and then we have wildandfreepodcast.com.
Yep, and on Twitter, I'm a fun person to follow. Allison Does Vegas.
Yeah, I was like, wait, you have a second Twitter I don't know about?
No, only the pornographic sounding one.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. right. Yeah, and on Twitter, I am my rap name is Doc Murda.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Wonderful.
Nevada-tude.
Yes.
And we're back.
Did you see that? That was tiddly tiddly, but like
backwards, like yeah. rewound. Yes. Like, because it was, we recorded that a while ago and I recorded. But so, thank you so much to Wild and Free Podcast. We were in the Den of Dissent in downtown Las Vegas.
And that's also a testimony that whatever you want to do, you want to start your own podcast. If it's just about your state, fucking do it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So awesome. And we are just, I mean, we're going to be traveling all over. I'm going to be on the East Coast for the rest of the year. I'm headed to Philadelphia in one day, and Babelito's headed to Chicago. So follow us on our social media, see where we're at. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh this weekend, actually, also. So if you want to meet up with LWL, just like our friend Sophia, who's now in Atlanta, met up with me, just hit us up.
I need to put my shit together because the idea is to, at some point this year, organize something with Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet, this Get Ready to Mingle, and Latinos Who Lunch, maybe like a mini podcast party in Chicago. So,
ooh, that'll be fun.
So stay tuned, and hopefully the details will come out by the next Wada Wada.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll have a listener letter and some recommendations.
Down.
Okay. Oh my goodness, Babelito. You know, I know I'm going to be getting hungry soon, and I need that comfort food. And you know where I go for comfort food?
I think I know, but platícame.
The original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Bitch. On Sunday after
bitch
after the go away party, estaba crudo.
Oh girl.
Where do you
were you drinking?
No sé. That's how drunk I was.
Oh my gosh.
But I was so crudo and I was like, let's go to Lindo Michoacán, and we had dude, that fucking menudo was so good. Pero es que está bien chingón because they're like, how do you want it? And my boyfriend's brother is like, okay, lo quiero con pata, con pata y con pata. Bitch, le sirvieron toda la pinche vaca.
What?
It was so amazing. And then when we went there, I was like, by the way, do you guys know about Latinos Who Lunch? And they're like, yes, girl, you get 20% off.
25% off.
That's right. Okay. It was 25.
That's right. Lindo Michoacán is giving all of our listeners 25% off of your meal. But you know, that also means that you need to tip your waiters like that 25% off wasn't discounted. That's just my little, they didn't tell us to say that. I'm just telling you cheap motherfuckers to do that. Because that is a huge discount.
It is a huge
discount.
And
I know,
discount.
I'm not pointing any fingers, but I know some cheap ass hoes that don't tip the full amount. So anyway, what a generous discount. Thank you, Lindo Michoacán.
Muchísimas gracias. And remember,
save water.
Drink margaritas. Tiri-li-ti-ti-ti-ti-ti, psh. ¿Qué voy a hacer si el cadáver no se olvida con la piel?
¿Qué estás cantando?
Estoy cantando Caifanes.
Caifanes?
Way.
What?
Is gonna go down. You know como, like around the Independence Day of Mexico?
Yes.
No, bitches, that's not Cinco de Mayo. I'm talking about around the 14th, 15th, 16th of September.
Yeah.
There's so many concerts in Vegas, but one of them is going to be lit.
What? Which one? Tell me.
A ver, ¿estás listo?
I'm ready.
It's gonna be La Banda Sinaloense de Sergio Lizárraga. Con más ni menos que mis héroes. My second heroes. My third heroes. My first heroes. Fucking Caifanes.
Oh my God, Caifanes. Have you ever seen them live before?
So many times. And I can never...
Several times.
I saw Jaguares back in the day. And when they reunited, I saw the first reunion show in the United States of Caifanes.
Oh, my goodness.
Y allá me vieras, like, cantando como loca, chillando. Ugh, so amazing. Caifanes, it's a seminal rock and español band. And they are on tour right now. So make sure to check them out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, September 14th. That's Friday, September 14th, Viernes, el día 14 de septiembre, at live at the MGM Grand. Get your tickets now through axs.com. AXS.com.
So, and this is a concert for everybody. Llévense a los papás para que vean a la banda sinaloense. Ya cuando se pongan pedos, they go sit down, and then you go all the way to the front. And then you rock out with La Negra Tomasa, El Ojo de Venado, y Guara Guara La Cuchara.
Oh my gosh. How exciting! Oh my gosh, Pablito. You know, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
A ver, dímelo otra vez.
ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
And ZipRecruiter is such an amazing company. Do you know that they send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards? But they don't stop there. Okay. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job.
With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. That was bold and underlined. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. Latinos, LATINOS.
ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Ooh, and we're back. I'm exhausted.
Eso fue una montaña rusa.
Oh my God. Dios mío. From Renudo to Zippers or whatever, Zip Recruiters.
No, pero la neta.
Del planeta.
Dar menudo is the shit, man.
I know, bitch. Oh, so I've been
good.
There.
So good.
I used to eat menudo, but now I'm more of a pozole guy, you know?
But girl, that's the good thing. Go and be like, me da un menudo sin carne con puro grano.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, it's so good.
You know, having granos isn't always a bad thing.
Híjole, pshum, 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 andas en fuego.
Ay, I know, I need to get that checked. So, let's read a listener letter. Actually, I think this one is specifically addressed to you, Babalekis.
A ver.
So it actually says, Babalekis, I'm currently in Washington, D.C., and I can't help but think about the times you've mentioned how, generally speaking, museums aren't accessible to the masses. How do you feel about the free Smithsonian museums in D.C.? Un abrazo, our friend, Lolekis.
We talked about this a little bit with Denise. Shout out to Denise.
Dr. Denise Sandoval from the last episode.
Yes, yeah. That was a good episode, girl.
She is incredible.
She's amazing. I can't wait to have her again.
She's beautiful. She looks like Linda Evangelista. She's a model.
It's hard. It's hard for me because it's hard to detach certain histories of the museum. Museums are created historically based on colonialism. So, for example, the Cabinet of Curiosities that people were collecting in Europe in the 1600s, 1500s, becomes a natural history museum. And the natural history museum becomes the art museum. And that is rooted in this unethical, irresponsible way of collecting stuff. So when you go to encyclopedic museums, which a lot of these Smithsonian museums are encyclopedic museums, the pretense is that you're going to understand the world's culture in 2-hour visit. So the idea is that you're going to go inside, you're going to go through this liminal process of learning shit, and then you're going to come out as a better person.
Mm.
That, of course, is bullshit, especially when you see it in D.C., because you have these museums built like Greek temples. And the idea is that this is a temple of knowledge, right? And,
yeah.
And all of this is going to happen to you. So to me, that's the first red flag. However, just because of that oppressive history of museums doesn't mean that we should dismiss the work of a lot of people. And a lot of people in those museums make badass exhibitions. So I saw an exhibition of Vermeer, and I was like, yeah, it's a room full of, oh, we saw it together, a room full of white people reading letters from the 1600s.
Stunning.
Right?
I didn't care for it. But
you didn't care for it at
no.
all. Yeah, because...
You know, I'm so out of touch. I was having a conversation with an artist recently and arts administrator, and they were like, what do you think about this person and that person? And I'm like, bitch, I have no idea. I don't care. But, I mean...
That comes with age, though. I feel the same way.
I think it's just ignorance or just like, I don't know. I'm just... You're an art historian, so obviously you knew Vermeer, and I always the test for me is like, I'm thinking back to that show right now, mm-hmm. and I just remember a lady wearing a bonnet next to sitting at a desk.
That's exactly what
that's all his remember. Paintings, right?
Yeah.
The impact. Oh my gosh. Okay, go ahead.
But see, like, of course, and that's the hard part, that the pretense again is that you're supposed to know a lot of this stuff before you go into the museum.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has the time, energy, or money to receive a type of education where you learn about this dead white people.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. However, once in a while, you will get an exhibition that puts together their monies, and they do something amazing.
Yeah,
Hashtag Berman Museum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In Collegeville, Pennsylvania at Ursinus
right.
College.
Ursinus College. Mm-hmm. That's right. So check out Representando Mexico, the politics of Velasco, the politics of paper with Justin Favela. But
that's, by the way, that's me, Favi Fav.
Yes.
I'm having a solo show there that opens in September, y'all.
And I curated it.
Thanks for dropping that.
And I'm very, I'm very proud of the essay. But... You just have to keep an eye open because the art world, it's still dominated by the gallery system and the museum system.
Yeah.
So if you dismiss that completely, you lost the battle and you end up with no art. So instead, what you have to is that you still have to give them the benefit of the doubt. A place like DC, a place like New York, a place like Denver, a place like LA, it's filled with museums and exhibitions. So chances are that at least once or twice a year, you're going to get something that you need.
True.
And then you have to go see. But I just wish that we were a little bit more aware of that oppressive history of museums, because you see it in the facades, you see it in the decisions of curating, you see it on the fact that certain art is out in display and certain art it's still in the vault.
Yeah.
So... keep a lot of those things in consideration, but unfortunately, that's how the art world works. And if I was to completely dismiss it, I will end up with no art. And I still enjoyed the experience of going to a new city, going to a museum, because you learn a lot about the culture of that city. Even when the museum might be silly, when people may not consider it art. Like, think about the Neon Museum here in town. You learn so much about local Vegas history, and it's not necessarily your typical painting on the wall. You know, it's so different. So museums have a place in our lives. It not be that mystical ritual of learning and becoming a better person, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you should also support museums that you are passionate about. Mm-hmm. So if you love Vermeer, if you like dead white people paintings, great.
Go for it.
Give the Smithsonian all your money. And it's not that that's the only thing they have. Obviously, they have a lot of really great institutions. Okay. Yeah. But I'm just saying most museums are like that. I like to always seek out museums that are a little bit off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are more like art installations. Like
Baltimore.
Like they're called like feral institutions or like nonprofit institutions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Visionary Art Museum, I would consider that... a really important museum, and mm-hmm. I like that they call it visionary art and not, say, folk art or craft, you know? They just are celebrating these artists that they feel are important and don't get as much shine as they should be getting.
Bitch, and that reminds me of the exhibition we saw in Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
It was about...
High Museum of Art.
Yes, which is the Wakanda.
No, bitch.
The Wakanda Museum. Oh, no, that was in London. That's right.
So they film a lot of stuff in Atlanta now because it's like, that's like the next Hollywood. I think they just have like really great tax breaks for people making movies there.
Like in New Mexico, they call it Tamalewood.
Oh my God.
I know, bitch. Don't get me started.
Racist.
That's racist. That's racist.
That's great. So, Tamalewood. Ay, esto se pasa.
Pues ya los conoces, güey.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, we were walking up to the High Art Museum, and I thought, whoa, this building looks familiar. Is this the museum they used in Black Panther?
That's
and
that, right.
It was like supposed to be like the Tate Modern or something, or the one of the museums in
London.
In London, yeah. But they totally used it as the like the exterior shot when they were like wheeling the guy out. Yeah. Anyway,
that's my favorite scene of the movie, by the way. When the white lady's trying to explain the African art.
Oof, yeah, that's your life.
So stupid.
So what were you gonna say about the show?
So that show had it was about self-trained artists that are not necessarily part of the academy or the gallery system, but people within the canon, people in the gallery system or academy, learns to appreciate them. And it goes back to late 19th century France to today. And there was some amazing shit. There was some amazing stuff, and it was divided by periods. And one period was also regional. I remember there was one period in the 50s and 60s all about assemblage in L.A., that was my favorite part
assemblage.
Of it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. It's like collage. It's bringing a lot of objects together into like a new type of sculpture. And it's just like, again, you see it and it's anti-aesthetic. It doesn't supposed to be the canon. And that's why I appreciate it. But the fucking problem with that exhibition, as you noted, is that throughout the whole entire exhibition, there were words like charm, like naive, like folk,
yeah.
Like popular. So that automatically dismisses the importance of this art because it's not part of high art. It's not part of the canon. It's just like this, you know, whimsical shit. So those are the kind of problems that I think Lola is asking, that some museums still don't have their shit together.
Yeah.
And some museums are still being directed by the same people that were directing them fucking 50 years ago. But again, we were able to look beyond the vocabulary of the exhibition, and we were able to enjoy ourselves a really pretty nice afternoon of art, you know? So it's worth it. It's just, you gotta choose your battles, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, slowly museums are changing. It's going to take a long time. But yeah, there's some really good stuff. There's also a Winnie the Pooh exhibit there.
Oh, you that's know, right.
Very nice. That was for the people. Shout out to Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah. My God. It was an interesting exhibition.
So thank you, Lolekis, for that letter. Again, you can send your questions to asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read them on a future episode. All right, now it's time for recommendations, and we only have a little bit of time, so the quicker the better, Babalito. Do you have any recommendations
you
lined up?
Because I'm getting ready.
Well, I want to shout out listener to the podcast, our friend Pablo in LA, because he put me on to this really great podcast done by Big Dipper. And do you know who Big Dipper is?
Nope.
Big Dipper and Meatball. Do you know who Meatball is?
Oh, yes. He told me about the podcast.
The drag queen.
Yes.
So they have this podcast called Unbearable with Big Dipper and Meatball. Big Dipper's like I wouldn't call him a rapper, but he does music, and he's a bear, and he's like very proud of it. And then Meatball is this like unconventional drag queen. She was on the first season of Dragula. I saw her at Bushwig actually when we went out for DragCon. She's really, really funny. They have this podcast where they interview people, and they usually just end up talking about sex the whole time, which is really funny. So they'll interview somebody, and then they have snack time, and then they have sex story time, and then that's it. So that's listen awesome. To them. They're awesome. Check them out wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I want to give a recommendation based on what we started to talk about in the podcast, which is GIFT, the conference we went to. And I want to shout out Edgar Villanueva, which was the closing plenary talk. And he actually wrote a very interesting book about decolonizing wealth. And that's the name of the book, Decolonizing Wealth. That talk gave me life. That was very interesting. It was very important to talk about how to make money without or trying to avoid the perils and monsters of capitalism, and how to think about collecting and gaining money in a completely different way to advance these social justices. So again, the book is called Decolonizing Wealth, and the author is Edgar Villanueva. All of those links will be in our website.
Yeah, and again, if you want to look up GIFT, it's GIFT stands for, I believe, Grassroots Institute for Fundraising Training. Mm-hmm. You can check them out online, donate to them, or any of the organizations that they are proud to support. I am going to become a monthly member based on all the work that I saw them do. And again, shout out to everybody in Atlanta that was at the conference this year. Hopefully we'll see you all in 2020.
And shout out to Atlanta's Breakfast Club. That food is off the fucking hook. So
oh
good.
My gosh. The food, especially... No, I'm not going to say anything. Anyway, anything else, Babalekis?
That's it, man. It's bittersweet. Things are happening, but we're going to make it work as much as we can for everybody. I'm sad, but excited.
Really excited for you. I think Chicago is going to be so awesome
I think it's what I've been looking for.
Yeah, totally.
And I also am excited because you're doing so many wonderful things, and we're going to see each other in Philly, in New York,
maybe
Chicago.
Next episode you can ask me about what I've been doing.
Yes, I thought about it.
Okay, cool.
But I was just like, I was into myself. I was like, fuck, I didn't ask him anything.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Chicago, get ready for Dr. Babalito. He's going to be in the house.
Woo-hoo! Pilsen.
Wait, you're driving?
Bitch.
How long is it going to take you?
I don't want to talk about it. It's going to be 24 fucking hours.
Ponte los pañales. All right. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. That's where Babalito and I put the episodes out, and Babalito puts the links to everything that we talked about today. Again, latinoswholunch.com. You can also send us an email, asklwlpod@gmail.com. We might read it on a future episode. Please send us your reviews wherever you listen to podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts. Leave 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility and representation are essential.
Okay.
It's done.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our marketing intern is Hector Aguilar. I'm Fabi Fab.
Hey, yo, sono Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.